This is NHPR News. It's 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. If you just glance at the unemployment numbers, it seems that older workers, those 55 and up, are doing pretty well. While the jobless rate overall is 7.3%, for Americans in the 55-plus crowd, it's almost 2 percentage points lower. But the full picture is more complicated and darker than it looks. Among the unemployed, older people have a much harder time getting rehired, and when they do, their new jobs often pay a lot less than what they were making before. The Boston Globe recently profiled the many New Englanders who find themselves in this depressing situation. A 60-year-old former high-tech executive who's been job searching for 2 years. A 59-year-old former manager at a major financial firm, also unemployed for 2 years and barely scraping by. And a 57-year-old computer and web designer who's now making ends meet with part-time contract work. The common thread in these stories, and the many others like them, is that these people want to work. They have impressive skills and experience, but they feel employers today are biased against hiring folks over 50. This hour on The Exchange, our week-long series, How We Work, 5 years later, continues with a look at older workers, how they fared in the recession, and how those who lost their jobs are doing today. And we begin our hour with Matthew Rutledge. He's a research economist at the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. And Professor Rutledge, great to have you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
What's the broader narrative, Professor Rutledge, of older American workers and how they fared during the recession?
So in previous recessions, older workers were largely immune from layoffs. The peak unemployment rate for older workers was 6%, and that was all the way back in 1982. But this time was very different. The unemployment rate reached 8.5%, which wasn't really that much below the full population. And more importantly, older workers really had trouble finding a new job. The typical unemployment duration was 38 weeks compared to just 22 weeks for, 22 weeks is not, a great deal for anybody, but 38 weeks for older people, I think, was a very difficult time for them.
Yeah, it's a long time. Hey, yeah. By the way, how do you define older worker? Are we talking 50 plus, 55?
This is 55 to 64.
Yeah.
And obviously there are people that are older than 64 that want to continue to work, especially recently, knowing that their retirement security probably isn't where they need to be. And one of the things we do advise people is to try to stay in the workforce as long as possible to make sure that they're as secure as they can be.
Sure. I'm interested in what you said, Professor Rutledge, about in earlier recessions, older workers were largely immune, but this time was different. How come?
I think just the severity of the recession was probably the biggest factor. I mean, if you have a fairly mild recession, then I think it's easy to just get rid of the last workers that you hired, sort of a last-in, first-out sort of philosophy for layoffs. But when you have a really severe recession, then you need to make some big cuts. And I think it was easier to cut older workers this time around because they didn't have the protective effects of tenure. They hadn't necessarily been at the employer for 30 years as previous generations of older workers had. So they didn't have necessarily that loyalty or that really vital experience that employers really didn't feel like they could lose. And combine that with the fact that older workers tend to have higher healthcare costs, and that's going to be, really important for employers that are trying to cut back and save some money.
Yeah, and 5 years later then, how are they doing? Are they back to work full-time, part-time? Are they on disability? How are they doing?
Well, as you alluded to in your intro, the unemployment rate has fallen quite a bit for older workers, about 55, especially for 55-plus men, down to 5.7% from that peak of 8.5. And the decline for women is a little bit smaller than that, but they also didn't have nearly the same peak. But the job opportunities are still fairly limited. We still see the typical unemployment duration of about 29 weeks for somebody 55 to 64. Compare that to just 17 weeks for the full population. So, that's going back to what we'd normally expect for the full population. Older workers are still really suffering. And almost half, a little over half of older job seekers have been out of work for more than 6 months compared to the overall population, about 37%. So workers are really having trouble finding new jobs. And going forward, I think that makes it a lot more challenging to meet that advice that we really give to a lot of people, which is to stay in the workforce as long as possible. If it doesn't seem like it's going to be possible for them to convince an employer to hire them, I think it's going to make it very difficult to have the income in retirement that they'll need to support the consumption that they would really like.
Well, and that's a key phrase that you just said, Professor Rutledge, isn't it? Convince an employer to hire them. In those stories that I read from the Boston Globe's reporting of older, you know, formerly high-level managers and so forth, that was the theme. They said, I've got all this experience. I have all this knowledge. I can't convince anybody to hire me.
That's right. And we survey employers, and they say up and down that they value older workers, especially their reliability, their work ethic, the practical experience they bring. But it doesn't seem like employers really want to hire them. It may be because they perceive these people to be hard to retrain. It may be because that they view them as expensive to their health insurance costs. And for a lot of these people, remember that they older people have been more likely to be out of work for a long time, which we know is a black mark against people of all ages. You know, if this person has been out of work for 2 years and no one scooped them up, what's wrong with them? Mm. It's sort of, you know, there's some understandable degree of little nervousness about that. And that's a lot to overcome. So what a lot of economists have been recommending is that the government really step in and take a more active role. Now, that could be direct hiring of the long-term unemployed. And remember, a lot of them are going to be older workers to actually to do sort of a New Deal-style direct hiring program. Or to, you know, if not direct hiring, then you can subsidize their wages or you can give them a break, you know, give older employees and their employers a break on Social Security taxes. And that might increase their attractiveness. But in the meantime, individuals are probably going to need to show to employers that they're flexible, that they're capable of being retrained, that they're keeping their skills fresh, especially while they've been out of work for a long time.
Yeah.
And they're maintaining their social networks, which we know is a really vital way to for people to find jobs, is to use their connections.
Yeah, sometimes tough to retrain, though, to pay the cost of the class when you're out of work.
It's a potentially risky investment, especially if you feel like you're not going to be in the labor force for much longer to actually reap the benefits from that. But it's something that I think is much more convincing to employers than just clicking on a whole bunch of links on Monster.com.
Sure. Well, Matthew Rutledge, good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for having me.
That's Matthew Rutledge, again, research economist at the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. And again today in The Exchange, it's our series, How We Work, 5 years later. We're looking at the plight of older workers and how they're faring today, 5 years after the recession. Let's hear from you. If you're a midlife worker, how has your job situation changed in the past half decade? Are you struggling to find a new job after a recession-related layoff? And if you're still in the workforce, are you planning to delay retirement and work more years than before? Give us a call. Tell us your stories. The Exchange number is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Email us, exchange@nhpr.org, or post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange, all one word. We have two guests for the hour. Kelly Clark is here. She's State Director of AARP New Hampshire. And Kelly, it's nice to meet you. Thank you.
Good morning.
Also with us, Dennis DeLay, economist for the New Hampshire Center for Public Policy Studies, also New Hampshire Forecast Manager for the New England Economic Partnership. And Dennis, welcome back. Good to see you.
I'm great to be here, Laura. Thank you.
Well, Dennis, I want to start with you. We just heard those numbers from Professor Rutledge. Do we see the same trends here in the Granite State, Dennis?
Yeah, we do. If you look at, I think maybe it's probably wise to break it up into two separate pieces of older workers. You know, Professor Rutledge was talking about people 55 to 64, sort of the pre-retirement age. And then I think the other thing to look at is people that are over the age of 65 who are also working. Right now in New Hampshire, about 70% of the people that are age 55 to 64 are, you know, have jobs. About 20% of the people that are age 65 and older have jobs. But that ratio is up a little bit. It used to be 16 out of 100. Now it's 21 out of 100 approximately. People over the age of 65 are actually working. If these trends continue and if people sort of stay attached to the labor force in the same way, we have about 40,000 people right now in New Hampshire that are over the age of 65 that are working. In just a couple of decades, by the year 20 or 30, that's going to be 80,000 people over the age of 65 that'll be attached to the labor force and working.
If current trends continue, if people continue to feel the way about work that they do today.
Right. And, you know, some of the other interesting things that are going on in sort of the older worker near retirement and traditional post-retirement age workers is they're increasingly looking for full-time employment. And that's a fairly recent change, you know, in the last 15 years or so. It used to be if you were an older worker, you were looking for part-time employment. That switched a few years ago. Now it's full-time employment.
That's interesting. How come?
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons for that. One of them, I think, is that the nature of work has changed. So that, you know, we've moved away from traditional heavy lifting, blue collar, male dominated jobs to gender non-specific, knowledge based jobs. So you can essentially afford to and be able to keep employed for longer. I think the other thing, though, is that you've seen employers move from defined benefit plans. You know, it's essentially
the old-fashioned pension.
The old-fashioned pension to defined contribution plans. That's already happened in the private sector. It's starting to happen in the government sector, too. So people essentially probably feel like they need to work longer.
Yeah, I had a gentleman friend of mine who's in his mid-60s. I said, I thought you were retiring. He said, not since my 401k became my 201k.
That's
so,
exactly,
yeah.
Right.
What are your thoughts, Kelly Clark, on these broad trends about older workers and how they fared in the recession?
Yeah, I'd like to actually pick up on the duration rate, because while we have seen that the unemployment rate has gone down, we have not seen that trend in duration of unemployment, especially for people 55 plus.
So they're still unemployed
for a long time.
Which is, so Professor Rutledge said, is a kind of a black mark on it.
Correct. And actually, if we looked at 2007 data, that duration rate for someone 55 plus was about 20 weeks. Today, that rate still remains around 55 weeks for a person 55 plus. And somebody that's 55 or under, that average is 34.5 weeks. Now, why that's important is because the longer people are out of work, it makes it much more difficult for reentry, as we heard both of your guests discuss, you know, maintaining their skills, professional contacts. The other point is that, you know, really people have a lack of the luxury of time to recover. From the standpoint, they may have had to tap their 401k, they may have to you know, take a second mortgage on their house, they may have lost their home. And so that time to recover for retirement is so much smaller. So we are seeing that people are working longer, and our data shows that here in the Granite State, only about 13% of individuals 50-plus plan a traditional retirement.
All right. We will talk a lot more after a short break, and we'll start taking your calls, too. So join us, 1-800-892-6477.
This is NHBR 919. Good morning. NHPR and the Live Free or Die Alliance is presenting a town hall healthcare forum. Laura Kanoy will be leading a panel of experts through a discussion of what the Affordable Care Act means for New Hampshire. You can submit your questions online at nhpr.org, and you can listen to the forum live on nhpr.org tonight at 6 o'clock. More of our series, How We Work, 5 years later, coming up on The Exchange. And at 10 o'clock on The Diane Rehm Show, lawmakers and regulators take a closer look at Bitcoin. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Goff Wilson, an immigration law firm offering businesses and individuals a global solution to moving people around the world, online at goffwilson.com. From Comcast Business, supporting New Hampshire Food Bank's collection of non-perishable food items at the New Hampshire for the Holidays Expo, December 7th and 8th. More at eventsnh.com. And Golf and Ski Warehouse, stores in Hudson, Greenland, and West Lebanon, New Hampshire, and also in Scarborough, Maine, online at golfandskiwarehouse.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, it's our How We Work 5 years Later series this week. And this hour, we're focusing on older workers, how they fared during the recession, and how they're doing today. If you're a midlife worker, how has your job situation changed in the past half decade? Are you struggling to find work after a recession-related layoff? If you're still in the workforce at over age 50, are you planning to delay retirement and work more years than before? Give us a call. We want your stories, questions, comments at 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. The Facebook page is NHPR Exchange, all one word. Post a comment there. Our guests are Kelly Clark with AARP New Hampshire and Dennis DeLay, economist for the New Hampshire Center for Public Policy Studies. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Before we go to our listeners, so lots of numbers indicating that older people want to work, indicating, as you said, Kelly Clark, that it takes them longer to find a job if they're laid off. What are some of the fears and concerns that you're hearing from folks in this demographic when it comes to work?
It's predominantly been the challenge with finding that next job. And from the standpoint of looking at those longer durations and how to really look at things like retraining, taking advantage of education, really trying to stay engaged, stay socially engaged, to begin to think about their skills differently from the standpoint of not so industry specific, but how are these skills transferable in other industry sectors. So I think what I actually saw in some research that I conducted with 16 individuals that were long-term unemployed was that people were really trying to stay very engaged, very productive, using their time in a very engaged way from the standpoint of pursuing education, going back to school, working part-time, finding those opportunities to really continue to fine-tune and maintain their skills. Because the longer that they, you know, are out of that workforce and not able to keep those skills fine-tuned, it's going to be much more difficult for people to re-enter. And there are, we did talk about education quite a bit, and we do know, you know, the affordability factor can be quite difficult for somebody
sure,
who's
if you're out of work. Right?
That said, we do have the Workforce Investment Act has a dislocated worker program in the state, and individuals may qualify for assistance with getting that retraining and retooling from a broad spectrum of educational opportunities.
We're going to talk a little bit later in the hour more about education with someone from Southern New Hampshire University. But your quick thoughts there, Dennis DeLay.
Well, I think, again, the nature of the people that are that are moving back into the workforce or maybe will never leave is changing too. Predominantly, there's a greater percentage of women that are married that are older workers now. So, and that I think goes along with the part-time to full-time change that we've seen as well. That it's increasingly difficult, frankly, to support a household, even a two-person household, without two separate sources of income. So I think that's another thing that's driving it as well. It's interesting the kind of jobs that maybe you'll see retirees gravitate to, which again I think are going to be more knowledge based and non heavy lifting, non male dominated, blue collar. Remember a few years ago I was down at a community television station, and it was in the middle of the day. It was close to Londonderry High School, but most of the people in there that were sort of running the cameras and behind the boards like you have here at NHPR were all over the age of 65. And my thought at the time was, you know, these are the jobs that probably teenagers would have been doing, you know, 20 years ago. Now you see, you know, people near retirement age doing them.
Let's take some calls. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange, all one word. And Bill is calling first from Rye. Hi, Bill. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. I was just listening to your conversation with a lot of interest because at age 64, 3 years ago, I'm now 66, almost 67, was working for a large Japanese electronics firm and been there 13 years. And one day they rounded up all the old guys, me included, and gave us a check and sent us down to fight.
Wow!
So not exactly a shock, but it was a little bit of a surprise. So consequently, I had sent out maybe 150 or 200 resumes. And like I said, I was a senior guy. I was pretty highly respected in the organization. And actually working at my age, and there's a big difference between 65 and 64 year old guys who are on the payroll and the guys who are actually working. So I was traveling internationally. I was on an airplane 3 weeks a month doing my job, et cetera, et cetera. And unfortunately, that particular skill set did not seem to transfer readily back into the workforce.
Wow.
I did end up with several consulting contracts using my expertise, which they were willing to pay for, but they weren't willing to hire me. And, you know, the other thing was that, you know, I was fairly healthy. You know, I'd been working for 13 years and never had a sick day ever. So
this myth of older workers being more expensive health-wise, you're saying, not necessarily.
Well, I know that the health care insurance premiums continue to go up as people get older. But I think the missing aspect here is from a lot of companies is they are perfectly willing to take a significant part of the older workforce, myself included, and just eliminate them because they think they can do it cheaper, but they certainly cannot do it better. In my career, I had over $3 billion with a B, dollars in sales, introduced a lot of products to the marketplace, and frankly, the people that took my job, the 28 and 30, 32-year-old guys, very competent guys, but inexperienced, and I'm sure someday they'll reach that level, but the company's never gotten back to the company that or the level that I achieved.
Yeah. Oh, well, Bill, thank you so much for sharing your story. Wow. And, you know, I have heard this, Dennis DeLay, from other people in their early 60s, mm-hmm. that they have been fired just mm-hmm. before retirement age, a couple years before, like Bill, and then rehired on a part-time or contractual basis like Bill was. Bill, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Yeah. No, I think you're seeing that more and more. You know, again, there are ways to sort of phase older workers out of the workforce by reclassifying their jobs, by, you know, essentially, you know, putting them in isolation. There's a lot of things that companies could do. It probably is not in their best interest, though, but in the longer term, I think Bill is right. But one of the things driving that, of course, is healthcare costs, and it's probably less expensive, and pension costs, and it's probably less expensive to essentially detach somebody from your company and then hire them back as a consultant because you're not paying them pension benefits and healthcare benefits.
Yeah. Do you want to jump in on Bill's story as well?
Yeah, just a couple of points. I would say yes, and from the standpoint of the individuals that I interviewed, saw some very similar trends to Bill's experience. And individuals that did end up getting back into the workforce on a contractual basis. In addition, one of the points that Bill touched on, 150 to 200 resumes.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So individuals that are in long-term duration situations, there's a lot of rejection.
Duration meaning duration
of unemployment. And the number of rejection letters that one would receive. And while it's really important for people to continue their job search, it's equally important to balance that out as a buffer to their well-being, to look at ways that they can be engaged in their community and ways that they can receive positive reinforcement to because one has to continue to send those resumes out, and you know a certain percentage are just absolutely coming back.
Oh, Bill, again, thank you for calling. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange, all one word. Post a comment there. So here's the flip side, though, Dennis DeLay. In a way, can you blame a company for wanting to invest and train in someone who they hope is going to be with them for a longer period of time, a younger person? I mean, you know, and Bill's, he's right on, you know, experience counts for a lot. But from a financial standpoint, you know, a 30-year-old, you're probably going to have them on the workforce, or the hope is you'll have them on the workforce longer than you will a 60-year-old.
Yeah, but I think you give up something that Bill was talking about, and that is experience. And not only experience, but contacts, you know, the ability to, you know, the social connections that you have at work are probably just as important as the kind of connections that Kelly was just talking about, because that's really how things get done. I mean, in business, we tend to think of businesses as being, you know, cold and calculating, but really all business is based on personal relationships. And older workers that have those kind of connections to other businesses, I think, are very valuable. You know, the bottom line on this is again, you're going to see a significant increase in the number of people, you know, just in New Hampshire that are age 55 to 64 or 65 and over in the next couple of years. So this is, you know, this is a problem or a situation the companies have got to start thinking about now, because it's going to become increasingly important to them as time goes forward.
Do you want to jump in, Kelly?
Yeah, I think the other factor here that we're seeing in the workforce in general is that the employment contract has changed. So even for younger people, the thought that you're going to work for a company for the next 15 or 20 years isn't so today. So there's a lot of churn, even for younger people as well in the workforce, with regards to looking at the rehiring of people from the standpoint of, as Dennis was pointing out, that have really invested and have contacts and have these networks. And I was just speaking to someone yesterday, actually, who made, semi-retired, made a shift and was able to, because of the networks that this individual had established, was just transferred those over to a completely different industry, hit the ground running, and was able to immediately being able to contribute value back.
So the assumption that a younger person is more worth investing in than an older person, not necessarily so, Kelly, because younger people churn through jobs more quickly than perhaps earlier generations.
That's correct, yes.
All right. Well, again, Bill, thanks for the call. Let's take another one. Anne is waiting in Concord. Hi, Anne. Go ahead. You're on The Exchange.
Hi, thanks. I lost a very good paying job back in 2009 in the banking world, and thought I could easily get another job in banking, but we know what happened in that time frame in banking. So it took a while. I eventually did get a banking job at a much lower scale. I also, in the interim, joined some groups, retired folks, usually around my age, which was over 50, and went to the employment agency and went through the skills set of the Workforce Ready program back in 2010.
Is that a state program, Ian, that you're talking about? Or?
Well, it was federally funded
okay.
for the state.
Sure.
And
was it useful?
It was great.
Yeah?
It was great. The teachers were great. And I just recently took, during the summer, another course, again, to update. But in the interim, I don't think I'll ever get the pay I used to. I unfortunately had to go through my 401k money to keep my home. I'm still holding on to my home with my knuckles, but, fortunately I have friends and family that were kind enough to lend me money in these hard times. And finally, the last time I applied for a job in the field I was in, I think it was my age, because they're looking for somebody who can, almost like the Army, they can mold them more easily at the age of 18, 19, 20, 21 versus somebody 50 or older.
So you felt some age bias, some age discrimination
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And thanks for calling. And I'm sorry about your situation. Glad you got another job, but at lower pay. That's a story we hear a lot, Kelly.
Yes, it is. It very much so is. And one of the factors that we're seeing as well is some of these jobs have simply gone away. And so it's kind of that harsh reality that the job of the past may not be the job of the future. So the more that individuals can really think about how to reapply their skill set, whether that be in other industry sectors, in different types of jobs from a consulting standpoint, because that is part of the harsh reality here is some of these jobs have simply gone away.
Well, and Anne, good luck to you. And, it relates to something we talked a lot about yesterday on the program, Dennis. We talked about jobs lost, jobs replaced, and mm-hmm. you've done a lot of that work. We
yeah.
were citing your work. But we're not comparing apples to apples here. I mean, the jobs that we lost are not necessarily the same as the jobs that are coming back. So, and Anne's in that situation.
Right, yeah. I mean, a lot of the jobs that we lost in the first couple of years of the recession, and again, I know we're focusing here on the last 5 years and how things have changed. I mean, a lot of the jobs that we lost in those first 3 years or so of the Great Recession were jobs in manufacturing, jobs in construction, finance and insurance. And again, Anne is a example of that. All of those are fairly high-paying jobs. A lot of the jobs that we're getting back now are in jobs in leisure and hospitality, retail trade, and those jobs don't pay as well. In fact, we looked at the last year, and about two-thirds of the jobs gained have been in industries that pay a below-average wage in New Hampshire. So,
really? Say that again, Dennis.
So two-thirds of the jobs that have been gained in the last year are jobs that pay at a below-average wage in New Hampshire. So the issue of job quality in this recovery, I think, is really an important one. It affects a lot of things. It affects not only the ability of people that are reentering the labor force to get the same job that they had before, at least at the same pay that they had before. It also affects the overall growth of the economy, and it affects the housing sector, too. because, again, you know, the ability of people to, you know, buoy up the housing sector is directly related to the kind of jobs that they have.
Well, and there's overall economic effects. If,
sure.
you know, workers 55 plus are struggling, you know, mom and dad can't help their adult children maybe make that down payment on a house.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go out to eat downtown. They don't go to the theater. They can't help their adult kids with child care because they're working two jobs themselves. I mean, there's ripple
right.
effects, right, Dennis?
It does.
This.
It's
not just the personal struggles.
It affects the entire economy. Now, we have seen some growth in some sectors that pay fairly well. Professional and business services is up a little bit compared to – in fact, we have more jobs in that sector now than we had 5 years ago before the recession began. And those are jobs in architectural firms, engineering firms, consulting firms, administrative services, management firms. They all pay fairly well. The other sector that's been shrinking, though, is in the last couple of years is the government sector. And again, those are jobs that are largely – that pay pretty well. They're largely sit-down-at-a-desk jobs as opposed to, you know, heavy-lifting blue-collar jobs. But, you know, again, in this age of austerity, when it comes to talking about the government, we're more focused on trying to reduce the size of government, and therefore the number of people employed there goes down.
Okay, so we've talked about a lot of negative trends, lower pay, job quality not as good, people being out of work for a longer time if they're in that 55-plus group. But on the upside, Kelly, what about reinvention? I mean, you do hear stories about older workers who got bumped during the recession, and now they're thriving. They found a new kind of lease on life, and they're happy about it. What sorts of stories have you heard on that
so
end?
So this is actually a really interesting phenomenon that we're seeing. About 12% of people 50-plus in New Hampshire that are between 50 and 59 have a desire to start their own business. We have been working with the SBA and holding forums across the state to look at what we call Encore Entrepreneurs.
And
Encore Entrepreneurs. So, and the audience for all of these sessions have very much been people that are in the 50-plus age bracket. Many have been unemployed. Some are, you know, really trying to take their business to the next level. Some are just starting out. So this is another very, I think, important trend that also speaks to the fact that some of these jobs have gone away. And people are also, you know, figuring out how to piece together, taking their skills, reinventing themselves. As well, the other thing that I saw in the individuals that we spoke to that were long-term unemployed is many of them, you know, identified a passion that they had and, you know, took up their artwork again, gardening, construction work, home projects. So really building a different skill set to balance that out, too.
All right. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit more about retooling, reinventing older workers with someone from Southern New Hampshire University. We'll continue to hear from you, too. So give us a call or send us an email.
This is NHPR 939. Good morning.
Coming up Thursday, November 21st, we devote 2 hours to the 50th anniversary of President John F. Kennedy's death. We explore public perceptions and political realities of the era, plus the investigation into the assassination and its aftermath. I hope you'll join us for this special two-hour program.
The Diane Rehm Show weekday mornings from 10 till noon on NHPR, where support comes from UR members and from jobsinnh.com. Connecting New Hampshire employers with local qualified job seekers, jobsinnh.com. How New Hampshire gets to work online at jobsinnh.com. And NCAP Group Captive Employee Insurance Solutions from Clark and Levy. Details about upcoming NCAP presentations are available at bestbenefits123.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, it's our series, How We Work, 5 years later. This hour, we're looking at older workers, how they were affected by the recession, and how they're faring today. Let's hear from you. 1-800-892-6477. If you're in that 50 to 55-plus age group, how were you affected by the downturn 5 years ago? And how are you doing today? Also, are you planning, if you're in that age group, to stay in the workforce longer, continue working longer than you had thought you might? Give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. We go now to Southern New Hampshire University to talk to Jennifer Webb. She's career advisor and internship coordinator at SNHU. And Jennifer, good to have you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me, Laura. Good morning.
Well, what proportion of the students that you work with, Jennifer, are in their older years?
I would say a large proportion. I work locally in Manchester, so I work out of our centers as well as our main campus, and we work with a number of undergraduate and graduate students who are looking either to re-career, so maybe join, as you all have talked about, the workforce in a different way than they might have before, but also those that are looking to gain their skill set and make sure that they're moving forward and have those transferable skills that Kelly talked about.
So they're looking to re-career, make a total shift.
Yes. You know, I work with a number of students who are really looking, as they look to that longer career path that they're going to be a part of, perhaps looking to give back in a different way. So if they were, for example, as your caller was in the banking industry, maybe they're looking to work with teenagers or young adults, you know, a variety of different of skill sets that they can bring to that table.
What are some of the challenges you find, Jennifer, associated with this group of older students?
Right. Well, I think Kelly did a great job of outlining, you know, some of them, that key piece about getting discouraged because there is that rejection factor, that perhaps they're feeling angry or frustrated at those younger workers or at a company or at a situation. And so trying to move past that and find ways that they're feeling validated and feeling like they can be part of a community that appreciates the skills that they have.
So a lot of rejection, and it's easy to get discouraged.
It is so easy to get discouraged, and I think our, you know, that population that we're talking about has so many value adds. So to make sure that they're focusing on that, and to see all that they're trying to navigate between taking courses, perhaps even taking care of two generations, grandparents who might be helping their grandchildren and their you know, own children. Navigate all of that is really difficult, and so to give themselves some credit for that.
Give us a story or two, if you could. I mean, you don't want you to name names, obviously, but
right.
Of some people you've worked with, Jennifer, who kind of fit this this demographic and this narrative.
Well, I think, you know, the piece around doing a lot of different tasks, so working moms, wives who maybe took time off to have their kids are coming back into the workforce and realizing they need to go back and get that undergraduate degree. You know, so balancing that busy life of going back to school, making sure that you're meeting the commitments of your children and your partner, but also trying to move forward with your own career.
You know, I have a friend who is a former military guy, just left the service after many years, served in all those difficult places, and he's a little younger than 50 plus, but it's been tough trying to find a job.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, Southern New Hampshire University prides itself on our military students and the work that we do with them. We have actually someone in career who he himself got out of the service after a number of years and started at SNHU as a student and now works as a career advisor with those students. But certainly there are a variety of unique skill sets that our military and veterans have bring to the table. And many are finding that they need to go back to school, maybe to finish that degree or to pursue a master's degree so that they can chart their course a little differently.
Well, Jen, just one last question for you and the work that you do at SNHU. How do you, as sort of a career advisor, internship coordinator, how do you approach this group of older workers differently than maybe the 20-somethings?
Right. Well, I think it's about redefining those goals and working through, again, those feelings of frustration or discouraging outlook and trying to determine what are those transferable skills and those great skill sets that they bring to their new career path. But also, you know, the basics, ensuring that resume and cover letter has been reviewed recently, making sure it's current with what trends are in hiring practices so that what they are sending out looks really good and does get them more, hopefully, good callbacks than those rejections that we've talked about.
Jennifer, it's really good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Jennifer Webb, career advisor and internship coordinator at Southern New Hampshire University. The number for you to join our conversation as we look at the plight of older workers 5 years after the recession began is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. And Kelly Clark, Dennis DeLay, let's go right back to our listeners. Pam's waiting in Dover. Hi, Pam. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much, Laura, for this show and
sure.
your guests as well. 5 years ago, I moved back from California to help my family, and I'm about to turn 60. I was looking for work and was shocked when I was told first from California, we won't talk to you until you've moved back here. And so when I did move back, I started to apply for work. I came back with 4 teaching credentials. And when I was told by an assistant superintendent of a school where I was substitute teaching that my resume, which I had been told over and over again, it has to be one page, that I had too much experience to put on one page, that I had to put it on 2 pages, I've had since done that and updated my, I think I have 4 or 5 resumes, but I've had 10 part-time jobs, 1 full-time job that I had to leave due to some knee surgery. And in talking to people as I was looking for work in my field, I began to get the message that as a teacher, if schools could hire someone that was younger, they wouldn't have to pay me as much.
Oh, Pam, I have heard this story so many times from people, even as young as 40 in the teaching profession. Dennis DeLay, there's real pressure on school systems, I think, to hire younger teachers so they don't have to pay them as much. Because with the pay scales right. for teachers, it goes up given your tenure.
It also goes up based on your education level, too. So you're starting to see more younger people, increasing their educational attainment at the same time. So you're having a competition, frankly, between, people that are looking to get back into the labor force like Pam is and people that are entering the labor force, actually like my daughter is, or one of my daughters are. But so I think there's a tension not only in the workplace, there's a tension, frankly, in the housing sector as well. You're having people, that are older thinking about maybe downsizing houses. At the same time, you have younger people thinking about moving up into home ownership, and they're essentially competing for the same house.
Oh, that starter house and that downsizing house.
Right. The one level living is very appealing to older folks, but it's also very appealing because it's cost effective.
Well, that's good for the housing
folks.
Market, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but it is, as some of the housing professionals have told us lately, we're starting to run out of capes and ranches. They're just too few of them being built. I mean, but getting back to the workforce issue, I think it. Again, frankly, there probably is a tension out there between younger folks who are trying to get into the labor markets and this feeling that, gee, I just wish those baby boomers would retire and stay out. And at the same time, I think, as we talked earlier in the hour, for lots of reasons, the severity of the recession, the fact that pension benefits have changed, that going out on your own and trying to get your own health insurance, even though that may change with the Affordable Care Act as we go forward, is a very expensive proposition. And frankly, a lot of people, I think, want to stay in the labor force and stay working simply to be able to afford health care.
You know, we talked earlier, both of you, about the perception that employers have that an older worker, they're going to be gone in 5 years when they retire. And we said maybe yes, maybe no. We also talked about the perception that healthcare costs are higher for older workers. Another perception we haven't dealt with yet, Kelly Clark, is that older workers will not be as savvy with the digital world, the social media world. They don't have Twitter handles and they're supposed to have one.
Well, I think actually I would go against the grain on that one because we are seeing a lot of people 50 plus that are using social media. Quite extensively. And in part, even if it started as I want to stay in contact with my grandkids or my children, that becomes a skill set. And we are seeing our individuals, and I'm just, our volunteers, we see, for example, that are starting to use Twitter. Facebook, very active Facebook users. So I think the move in this, it may have started socially, but it transfers professionally. So I think that that is becoming less and less of a myth in the workforce today.
Let's take another call. This is John in Laconia. Hi, John. Thanks for hanging on. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. Glad to speak with you. A wonderful program today. One of the things I wanted to talk about is my particular situation. I've been in a sales career for 40 years. I'm 67. 28 years ago, I purchased my own insurance agency and sold it 2 years ago, but kept a division of that and am continuing to work that part-time. I probably kept the wrong division because it happens to be health insurance. And, of course, with Obamacare, you know, I'm on suicide watch now with everything that's going on. It's so insane. But I wanted to mention the fact that for older people who may be out of work for whatever reason, or looking for a career change because they're at risk, I would strongly recommend a sales career. I enjoyed it tremendously for 40 years. I did very well financially with it. And there's still a stigma, I think, unfortunately, about selling direct sales that people really need to get past. My philosophy has always been that a salesperson will never be unemployed. You know, if you end up working for straight commission or you have a salary bonus commission arrangement, whatever it is, good salespeople are always in demand.
Do you think that sales companies are biased against older workers? They want a fresh young face out there selling their products? Because I have heard that from a couple folks.
Yeah, I think there is some truth to that. However, if you go, I'm thinking now the financial services market. I've been in the insurance business, you know, most of my life, all but 2 years of those 40 years. So I found that even in the financial services market, you know, if a person comes to, say, a general agent, for example, who's looking to recruit salespeople to grow his agency, which is a pretty much an ongoing process all around the country, if that person comes with the right type of personality, presents themselves very well, has an excellent background, and I'll tell you, teachers are generally highly in demand because most insurance is nothing more than educating folks.
Yeah, and John, I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much for your story. But in the interest of time, I want to get another call or question or comment in here. And Russ is waiting in Gilmanton. Hi, Russ. You're on the air.
Hi, Laura. I'll cut to the chase because I know you're running out of time. I am an independent sales person myself, representing multiple companies in the flooring industry. And I find myself being guilty of what we were talking about, thinking that because a lot of my clients are young, I'm 50, I'd like to partner up with a younger person. I think it's the best combination, really. You get the experience of me, who perhaps doesn't totally relate to what makes a younger person decide to buy. And I just wonder if there isn't a way. I mean, there's really great information from Southern New Hampshire University. It sounds like they're really on the ball there. But what more can we do to pair these older workers up with younger people? Or maybe it's a matter of helping employers understand that they need that combination.
Yeah, Russ, thanks for the call. What do you think, Kelly?
Yeah, absolutely. AARP actually does a national contest best employers to work for. And one of the components that we oftentimes see in these companies is that mentoring program. So they are aligning perhaps an older worker with a younger worker and teaming them up. Sometimes they work out, so the older worker might want to semi-retire. So they team them up with a younger worker. They're able to really take the benefit of that skills transfer.
Wow, and good to hear from two salespeople. Sounds like that's a career maybe for people 50 plus, a little bit flexible. John and Russ, thank you for those calls. Here's an email that came in. This is from Curtis. He says, I'm 51, a commercial plumbing foreman. I was laid off in 2009, replaced by a 28-year-old. I've since found a full-time job. I'm being paid what I made 10 years ago. I lost $600 a month, vehicle allowance and paid travel. I cannot retire. The rich are getting richer. Who represents me? I cannot afford to buy a politician. Wow, Curtis, thank you for sharing your story. There's the struggle, Dennis DeLay.
Yeah, it certainly is. And again, as I pointed out earlier, it's going to continue to be more and more in the news, certainly because we're simply, all of us are getting older. The number of people that are 55 to 64 is going to increase by about 25 or 30,000 over the next 10 years. We have about 127 people in jobs right now that are 55 to 64. That's probably going to increase to about 155,000. And as I said, you know, we'll see a doubling in the number of people that are working age 65 and over. So,
and is that a good thing? I mean, are these people who want to be working, or are they doing it because their 401ks, again, have become 201ks?
Well, I think it's both. I mean, I think, again, all of us are living longer, and frankly, we're living higher quality lives, and maybe the healthcare system is the victim of its own success. I mean, the fact that we've been able to create a healthcare system that improves our quality of life and increases our longevity also means we're going to have more older workers that are going to be looking for not only monetary gain, but certainly to feel like they themselves are productive members of society.
Kelly, last thoughts from you on this trend.
Yeah, actually, I just want to point out one last resource for your listeners, lifereimagined.org. Check it out online, free resources for people trying to figure out what's next for them.
To be one of those encore entrepreneurs
encore
that you're talking
entrepreneurs
about later.
And just to really help people think through, you know, what it is, look at that skill set. We have tremendous resources available, all free, and we are looking to bring Life Reimagined checkups to New Hampshire 2014, so stay tuned.
All right. Kelly Clark, great to meet you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Kelly Clark, State Director of AARP New Hampshire. Dennis DeLay, always good to have you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Laura.
Dennis DeLay, economist for the New Hampshire Center for Public Policy Studies, also New Hampshire Forecast Manager for the New England Economic Partnership. The Exchange is a production of NHPR. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producers are Ellen Grimm and Faith Meixel. Our volunteers are Priscilla Malcolm and John Barrett. The executive producer is Keith Shields, and I'm Laura Kanoy.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed any part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org.
I'm Laura Kanoy, and tomorrow on The Exchange, our series How We Work, 5 years later, continues with a look at how younger Granite Staters are being prepared for the workforce. As jobs sluggishly return to the state, administrators in high school and college are retooling their curricula to meet New Hampshire's future job market. But will this new generation fill a widening skills gap facing our state? Send us your thoughts by email, Facebook, and join us for The Exchange tomorrow morning live at 9 and again at 8 p.m. on NHPR.
The Diane Rehm Show next at 10 on NHPR, where support comes from you, our members, and from Works Bakery Cafe, local cage-free eggs, naturally cured meats, artisan's breads, New York-style bagels, Concord, Keene, Durham, Portsmouth, online at worksbakerycafe.com. And Elliott Urgent Care in downtown Manchester, an alternative to an emergency department for accidents, illnesses, and injuries, or when your doctor's office is closed, ElliottRiversEdge.org.
These are the stations of New Hampshire Public Radio.
WEVO Concord, 89.1.
WEVS Nashua, 88.3.
WEVH Hanover, 91.3.
WEVN Keene, 90.7.
WEVC Gorham, 107.1.
WEVJ Jackson, 99.5.
WEVF Colebrook, 90.3.
And WEVQ Littleton, 91.9.
And online at nhpr.org.
Good morning. It's 10 o'clock.
From WAMU and NPR in Washington, I'm Diane Rehm. Yesterday, the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs held a hearing on the potential risks, threats, and promises of virtual currencies. Later today, a Senate Banking Committee will hold a similar hearing.